Welcome to episode 974 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries.
The year is AD 49. The one-time Pharisee, Saul, now converted and known as Paul, arrives in Thessalonica with his companions Silas and Timothy. Having previously ministered in Philippi, the group arrives in this city of great importance and influence in Macedonia. Here, Paul is determined to preach the gospel, to bring the hope of Jesus to those who have not yet heard the good news. This is the apostle's second missionary journey. By the time he arrives in Thessalonica, he is already a well-known figure in the early Christian movement, especially among the Jewish and Gentile Christian communities.
Brothers, this city is ripe for the message of Christ. We must share the hope of his soon return, that they may not live in ignorance, but in the light of his truth.
Indeed, Paul, but we must tread carefully. There are many here who hold tightly to their traditions and may not welcome our message.
I am so excited to be here. We will speak with boldness, trusting the Holy Spirit to open their hearts.
Silas, my cautious friend, and Timothy, my eager son, I appreciate the different perspectives you bring to this work. Let us begin in the synagogue. As is our custom, we will reason with them from the scriptures.
Sometime soon thereafter, Paul stands in front of a gathering of Thessalonian Jews and Gentile believers. Some are curious, others skeptical, but all pause to listen to the newcomer.
Brothers, you know well the scriptures, the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. They all point to the coming Messiah. But I stand before you today to declare that this Messiah has come. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. He suffered, died, and rose again, just as the scriptures foretold. And he will come again, not as a suffering servant, but as the victorious king.
The listeners murmur among themselves, some nodding in agreement, others questioning.
Paul, we have heard of you, and we have heard of this Jesus. But how can you say he is the Messiah? He was crucified like a common criminal. The Messiah is to reign as a king, not suffer and die in ignominy.
The prophets spoke of the Messiah's suffering as well as his glory. Isaiah wrote of the suffering servant who would bear our iniquities and by whose stripes we are healed. Zechariah spoke of the one who would be pierced, but they also spoke of his glory, of a kingdom that would never end. Jesus fulfilled these prophecies. He died for our sins, but he rose again victorious over death, and he will return in glory.
Good Thessalonians, we are not rich men, nor do we seek riches. We have traveled far and wide because of the great hope that has been kindled within us. The resurrection of Jesus is the foundation of that hope. It is the guarantee that he will come again to gather his people and establish his kingdom.
Come again? What does that mean?
When I speak of Jesus coming again, I refer to the promise he made before his ascension into heaven. Just as he left, he will return, but this time not as a suffering servant, but as a conquering king. His second coming will be a glorious event, visible to all. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, surrounded by a heavenly host, and with the trumpet of God. We will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air.
This is our blessed hope, dear friend. We endure trials and hardships because we know that this life is not all there is. When Jesus returns, he will right all wrongs, wipe away every tear, and bring eternal peace. He will establish his kingdom, a kingdom of righteousness and justice, where sin and death will have no power. Until that day, we stand firm in faith, knowing that our labor is not in vain.
But when will this happen? How can we know the time?
Concerning the times and seasons, we have no need to tell you more than what the Lord has already revealed. Jesus said that no one knows the day or the hour, not the angels in heaven nor even the Son, but only the Father. What we do know is that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, unexpected and sudden. This is why we must always be ready, living our lives in a way that honors God, so that when he returns, we may be found faithful.
Yes, we must remain vigilant, not getting entangled in the cares and distractions of this world. Let us encourage one another to continue in the faith, standing firm in the teachings we have received. The promise of Christ's return is sure, and when it happens, it will be a day of great joy for those who have placed their trust in him.
Until that day, we pray for you that the Lord may strengthen your hearts and keep you steadfast in every good work and word. Remember, the hope of his return should fill us with joy and confidence, for we know that our redemption draws near.
But what of those who have already died? Will they miss this glorious return?
No, they will not. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Do not grieve as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. When the Lord descends from heaven, the dead in Christ will rise first.
The believers exchange hopeful glances, comforted by Paul's words. After leaving Thessalonica due to growing opposition, Paul travels to Berea, then Athens, and eventually settles in Corinth. It is while he is there that some Thessalonian believers find themselves gathering in a home for worship. The atmosphere is tense as they discuss the increasing persecution they are facing.
The pressure from the authorities is growing. Some of us have been threatened, others have lost their jobs. How much longer can we endure this?
We must remain strong. Paul taught us that trials would come, but our hope is in the Lord's return. We cannot waver now.
But what if the day of the Lord has already come, and we have been left behind? There are rumors that it has already happened.
I bring a letter from Paul.
The believers gather around as the messenger hands the letter to one of them to read aloud.
Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition.
Paul reassures us. The day of the Lord has not yet come. We must hold fast to the truth and not be deceived.
Paul also writes, "The Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. We are not alone in this struggle. The Lord will protect us."
Then we must continue to stand firm, supporting one another and spreading the gospel, even in the face of persecution.
The believers bow their heads in prayer, asking for strength and courage to endure the trials ahead. Meanwhile in Corinth,
Paul, the Thessalonians are enduring much hardship. Their faith is strong, but the trials are severe. What more can we do to support them?
We can encourage them to stand firm in the truth, to hold fast to the traditions we have taught them, and to live in the hope of Christ's return. We must remind them that the Lord is faithful and will deliver them from the evil one.
They have been an example to other believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Their faith and perseverance are known far and wide. But they need to be reminded that their labor is not in vain.
Write these words. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. Now seal the letter and give it to the messenger.
Paul turns to Silas and Timothy.
The Thessalonians have become dear to us, like a family. We must continue to pray for them, that they remain steadfast in their faith, and that their love for one another may abound more and more.
And so, Paul, Silas, and Timothy continued to support the Thessalonian believers with their prayers and letters of encouragement. The Thessalonians, though facing trials and persecution, held fast to the hope of Christ's return, standing firm in the truth they had received. The trials and persecutions of this world are but a moment in time. For those who remain faithful, there awaits a glorious reward. The blessed hope of Christ's return is not just a promise, but a reality that will soon be fulfilled.
We have fought the good fight. We have finished the race. We have kept the faith. Now there is in store for us the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to us on that day.
And not only to us, but to all who have longed for his appearing.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessed hope of your Son's return. Help us to stand firm in your truth, to remain faithful in the face of trials, and to love one another as you have loved us. May we be ready to meet you on that glorious day and dwell with you forever.